words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. As I mentioned yesterday, I've spent a lot of time in Psalm 68 these last few weeks. And the scripture I'm going to speak from today reminded me, just as encouragement, years ago, I'd totally forgotten this, but years ago, Bishop Adler and myself went to Africa. And it was after the word had come out about the tsunami revival, and God was speaking that really from lots of people all over the world. And we were going to Tanzania, whichever way you want to pronounce it. And we were going to Mwanza, which is right on Lake Victoria. And there were bishops from different countries that were gathering there. We met for 3 days and just talked to them about God's purposes for Tanzania, how he wanted Tanzania to walk in renewal and revival, and for them to cry out for that. And the scripture that God gave me was Psalm 68, verse 8. And I just spoke a prophetic word to them, and I said, the first day we met, I said, Psalm 68, verse 8 is the word of the Lord for you, and concerning the things that God wants to do. And I said, we've seen a lot of natural signs, things in the natural, in nature, as confirmations of things God's going to do. And the word was this, and this is not the sermon, but it says in Psalm 68, verse 8, and the earth quaked, and the heavens also dropped at the presence of the Lord. And then it talks about an outpouring rain and that kind of thing. And so I just said, that's God's word for you, Psalm 68, verse 8. And while we're meeting this week, God's going to give you a sign, particularly for Tanzania, that you can begin to believe God and contend for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Well, the next day in Tanzania, the earth quaked, but it had an earthquake, and it was a 6.8 earthquake. And we spent the rest of those days on our faces before God, crying out for revival. But it just reminded me of that. I thought that'd be a cool God story just to encourage you and what God can do. Yesterday, we talked about the fact that later in Psalm 68, about how Benjamin, he was put in a position, the tribe of Benjamin, to dominate, to rule, to have dominion. And even though it was the most insignificant tribe of all, as we looked at some things from Deuteronomy 33, we discovered they were the tribe of his presence. And the reason they were given a place of dominance is even though they were insignificant and maybe not the most talented or the most gifted, but they had made God's presence their priority. So even it's really important that you hear this word, because it's one of those tracks that'll govern the rest of our lives. We say these kind of things a lot, and I'm not going to share anything new, but it's just so relevant. Again, Psalm 68, verse 7. Oh God, when you just go before your people, when you did march to the wilderness, the earth quaked, and the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Sinai itself, the presence of God, the God of Israel. You did sin and shed abroad a plentiful rain, O God, and thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was parched. Thy creatures settled in it, and thou didst provide in thy goodness for the poor, O God. Sinai, when they were crossing through the wilderness, was the place where the law was given, but primarily it was the place where God met with Moses. And they were often asked to come out of their tents because as Moses went up the mountain, they could see the mountain. The mountain would shake and quake. Exodus 19, verse 18 talks about that. The mountains would quake, there'd be thunder and lightning, and then a fire would settle on the mountain. And then Moses would invite everybody out to stand at the foot of the mountain while he went up and met with God. So it was a place of encountering God, a place where they met God, where the people of God met him in the wilderness. In this scripture, this little section, he talks about you confirmed your inheritance when it was parched. You and I walk through the wilderness of a fallen world. If you read the One Thing devotionals, we've talked about that a lot from Song of Solomon chapter 3. And that in this fallen world, there are just battles to be fought. And it's easy for us to become parched spiritually. It's just going to happen from time to time. Doesn't matter how mature you are, or how mature you think you are, or how fired up you are about Jesus. There are just battles. And sometimes in those battles, we get parched. We become very aware emotionally that this is a wilderness that we're walking through, that Jesus is carrying us through to this wedding that's going to happen in the heavens. But I love what it says here. And again, this is about following up what I talked about yesterday, about the priority of the presence of God. Now, I love Psalm 16. I think I quoted this yesterday, giving a word to somebody. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I think one of the things that grieves God sometimes is when we make his hand more important than his face. Now, you need to understand that when you have his presence, when you've apprehended and you carry his presence and walk in his presence, the conscious experience of his presence, his hand comes with that. It says, in his hand there are pleasures forevermore. The pleasures that he carries in his hands are things like the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, all kinds of stuff. But it does matter to God that his presence itself, his person, is our great priority and our great pursuit. And it says some things about his presence. It says, the earth quaked, in verse 8, and the heavens dropped rain. But the word rain, if you have a New American Standard in italics, it shouldn't be there. It just says, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God, this place called Sinai, where God's presence encountered his people. And you did shed abroad a plentiful rain, O God, and thou didst confirm your inheritance when it was parched. Now here's the thing that he says that's so significant for us on a personal level. Whenever God's presence is manifest in your life, when you're walking in the reality of his presence, which is to be our pursuit, that's the great blessing. As a matter of fact, the Lord said that was the portion for the priest, for the tribe of Levi. There, other people got parts of the land, but Levi's great portion was the presence. And we're all priests in the New Testament. And so our great portion, our great prize, our great gift is his presence. And therefore his face, his presence, must be our priority because it is God's great gift to us. All the other stuff that we like to walk in comes with his presence, but his presence has to be our priority. Because it says here, again, when his presence, the earth quaked, the heavens dropped at the presence of God. When you walk in the presence of the Lord, the heavens drop. We talk about that a lot, don't we? We want to see heaven on earth. We want to experience heaven on earth. Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but thee? Besides thee, I desire nothing on earth. The psalmist said, heaven wouldn't even be heaven if it weren't you, Lord. Whom have I in heaven but thee? All the things that are wonderful about heaven, all the teachings you can know about heaven, but what makes heaven so heavenly is your presence. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, what do I desire on this earth? It's God's presence is our great gift, now and forever. And he says, when we walk in your presence, that's the ultimate expression of heaven. Heaven drops. Heaven comes down. We experience that reality of heaven coming to earth. And not only does heaven come to earth, when God's presence is manifested in your life, when you're walking in the experience of God, conscious experience of God's presence, it's not just that heaven drops. When heaven drops, earth quakes. Things in your life begin to change. The activity of God begins to manifest. Supernatural things begin to occur in the circumstances of your life and all the things that you put your hands to. His presence brings heaven. And when heaven drops, the earth quakes. And then he says this, and thou didst shed abroad a plentiful rain, thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was parched. Rain always speaks about the favor and the blessing of God. In God's presence, heaven drops. The earth quakes, and God's favor is released on your life. And all the things that you think favor should look like, blessing comes. In his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. All those things that represent favor come. But here's the thing, real simple. Thou dost, and thy creatures settled in it. This is where my heart is. This is where our heart should be. This is what perpetual revival looks like. You want to settle there. You just want to know moments of God's presence. You don't want to just know moments of heaven dropping. You just don't want to know moments of blessing and favor, plentiful rain. You want to live there. You don't want to live in the parched land and every once in a while knowing heaven dropping in your life. You want to so abide in him, so abide, remaining in his presence, walking in his presence, experiencing his presence that you settle there. That's what we're after. We've said that before. We're not looking for a visitation, though thank God for them. They just whet your appetite. They're like manna. Manna had the taste of honey. The land of Canaan was mixed with honey and milk. And manna not only supplied their need, but reminded them daily there's something more. I've called you to live in a place, a land flowing with milk and honey. So we thank God for visitations, but we want to live in a place that we can settle in, where there's a plentiful rain, where heaven stays low, it's dropped on our lives, the glory, where the earth just quakes, things just happen supernaturally. And here he says this, "Thou, God, didst provide in thy goodness for the poor." There you go. He said, "What is my part, Chuck? Stay poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit because they get the whole enchilada. Blessed is the poor in spirit because they get the whole whatever it is you like. Blessed are the poor in spirit because they get the kingdom of heaven. You get the whole deal. Our part is just to stay poor, desperate for his presence. And when you're desperate for something, you'll pay whatever price you have to pay to get there. You know, I've shared stories with you before about people, especially our time in Africa, because I've been there so many times, who just journey for days. Avery's experienced it. When they've heard there were Christians there with a medical clinic or people are praying for people, they'll walk for days. They can't get a taxi. There aren't buses that come by. They just get there because they believe somehow they're going to encounter God. And God honors their desperation. That's the difference between them and the Western world. We're not desperate. We have all kind of backup plans. But to stay poor in spirit. God, your presence is my priority, and I'll pay whatever price I have to pay. I'll give up with whatever I have to give up. Anything that would hinder love for you, I'll lay it down. That's why I played that last song, that song of repentance that Misty Edwards sang. This heart that says, "Lord, take it all, take anything. I just want your presence. I want to love you with all my heart." And it talks about the cry of our heart to God. And then God's calling out in response to us. He always says yes. It's not real complicated. Just stay poor in spirit. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.